We've got names. Report reveals massive funding of college protests by some very specific organizations.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
This is Logan Seculo. It's a Monday. Welcome to Seculo, joined in studio by Will Haynes, executive producer of this broadcast. Going to be joined later on by Harry Hutchinson, CC Heil, and Rick Grinnell. So it's going to be a packed show. Stay tuned. I did want to first, off the top, if you are watching online, you may have seen some of the imagery on our thumbnails, but I did want to quickly address off the top some of the breaking news that happened over the weekend, including the backers of the pro-Hamas protests that have broken out over college campuses. You've heard us talk about this for weeks now. And of course, Columbia had to make a statement. What did they do? They decided to cancel their main commencement. So no longer will Columbia students have their main commencement. They're going to have smaller graduations based on the school, like the individual school. And that will happen still right now. But the big one, not happening right now. But unsurprisingly, who was behind these protests? And of course, your mind's going to jump to some obvious candidates. And of course, you're probably right, Will. These are some of the biggest Biden supporters and some heavy hitters, some names we know.
That's right. So multiple articles were released over the weekend, investigations done by sources like Politico, Wall Street Journal, and they've been digging into sort of the finances and the backing of these groups and who has been behind these campus protests. And some of the top names, unsurprising to some, but also some surprising, but you see George Soros, the Rockefellers, Pritzkers, and the Gates. That's right, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, the way this works is you got to follow the money, and that's why it's not always as right there on the surface.
It's not linear. A lot of times it's not, hey, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation put the money in directly to Students for Justice for Palestine, or that the George Soros Foundations put their money directly to it. Usually it's a foundation that puts it, can we code me? Foundation to foundation. There we go. Foundation to foundation, where you see the money being moved in a way that is convenient, but it's also not that hard to track. So you just got to give reporters like Politico, you got to give people just a little bit of time, and this will all come out.
That's right. So the main source of a lot of these funds seems to be the major funding, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars from each of these big funders to an organization called the Tides Foundation, which is their tagline is shifting power, advancing social justice. But some of the organizations that they have been funding under that, so a sub grant, are organizations like If Not Now and Jewish Voice for Peace. And Jewish Voice for Peace and others are explicitly anti-Zionist organizations, and they have been some of the major organizers at these campus university protests. We'll get into in the next segment also some of the training that these organizations have been doing on campus. So we see now how organized, how well-funded this movement has been. It's what a lot of our audience has been saying from the beginning, but how easily they're able to infiltrate student groups on campus when they have this big funding from these organizations, from these individuals that are also major Biden donors, to further the chaos that we're seeing on campus.
That's right. Hey, we'd love to hear from you and love to get your thoughts and feedback on this. We'll take as many calls as we can today. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. Look, the anti-Israel protests on campuses are out of control, but the ACLJ is here when the world's back will turn on Israel. We know there's a call right now or happening this morning between Benjamin Netanyahu and President Biden, specifically about, I don't know, maybe the fact that there were some holds. Israel didn't quite get the supplies that they usually get. No one really knows why. Well, I'm sure someone does. And that is someone in the Biden administration. They're going to talk that out today, as well as the threats potentially coming as Rafah has been called to evacuate. So we're going to discuss that coming up. But our office in Jerusalem, ACLJ Jerusalem, is ready to fight back. We're also preparing to take major action to defend not only Jewish students, but also Christian students, anyone who considers themselves Zionist, which is likely you. We're getting violently attacked with these protests with very little response from our federal government. This is a big fight, a global fight. You can take action right now. Go to aclj.org/sign. Sign our petition to defend Israel right now. Let your voice be heard. Be right back. Seculo. We are going to take your phone calls. By the way, I'm gonna call somebody out who's watching on YouTube right now. He said, Logan, you don't take calls until the end of the show. Well, guess what? I will take your calls right now at 1-800-684-3110. We do have a packed show with guests, but you know what? There'll be some time for some calls over the next half hour. Of course, in that last segment of the show, which happens in about 40 minutes, sure, I like to stack that deck. I like having a lot of calls there because it's a lot of fun to kind of hear when you've had 40 minutes of conversation to hear what you have to, you know, think about it. What do you have to say? So give us a call, though. Get on hold. I'll do my best to get to you. We are joined in the studio by Harry Hutchinson as we continue this conversation about who is really behind these protests. And as we've said, these names are not shocking, but they are just kind of the proof in the pudding, if you will. Like, they are showing when you have a name like a Soros or a Gates or a Rockefeller, it's just at some point hilarious.
It is. And it's important to note that this reflects reporting from Politico, not a conservative magazine.
No.
So on one hand, you have these individuals strongly supporting Joe Biden. But on the other hand, you have these individuals supporting groups that support not dissent, but hatred and anti-Semitism, including terrorism and violence. So at Columbia, for instance, they had a meeting, a virtual meeting with a group called Salmon Down, a Palestinian prisoner solidarity network based in Vancouver, British Columbia. This is a group that celebrated the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. The administration twice barred the event, citing some of the organizers' known support for terrorism and the promotion of violence. Nonetheless, the event went forward. But what is really imperative for listeners to note is that these groups have received funding directly or indirectly from Joe Biden supporters, including the Pritzker family, George Soros, the Rockefeller brothers. And often the funding occurs through the use of a foundation. So, for instance, the Tides Foundation or some other group. So the American people should be aware of the fact that Joe Biden's donors effectively are supporting terrorism and effectively celebrating what happened on October the 7th, 2023.
Harry, you brought up that Samadown organization that they held a course, Resistance 101, for people planning on these protests at Columbia. And you also noted that twice they were canceled because they were trying to use university facilities to host this group for a Resistance 101. But then they ended up doing it virtual. And one of the quotes that came out of Wall Street Journal's reporting out of this is just shocking. So one of the organizers in this two-hour session, this training session that they held, said, "There is nothing wrong with being a member of Hamas, being a leader of Hamas, or being a fighter in Hamas. These are the people that are on the front lines of defending Palestine." So the question turns, one, this was publicly available that the Wall Street Journal could go find it. Obviously, the administration was aware of this group and should have been monitoring this. But does that even lead a further discussion point about the weakness of the administration when they knew the groups that were training their encampment were proactively encouraging support of a designated terrorist organization and further terror by allowing this to be the training they were receiving? Are you shocked that they didn't take action quicker than we saw?
Well, I'm not shocked. And in fact, this is par for the course at many elite universities. Many elite universities in the United States are basically incredibly weak, particularly at the top. So on one hand, they claim that they support free speech, but then under the cover of free speech, they are effectively supporting terrorism. And I don't think that claim is too strong. And I think that Congress should take active steps to deprive these institutions of federal funds and perhaps deprive the students of federal loan guarantees. So I think what is needed is a response from the political sphere to the inaction and the weakness, the fecklessness of the administration at campuses throughout the United States. Just as I was coming down for the show, I looked at footage at the University of California at San Diego. There, the students broke through a barrier. And one of the things that I think it's imperative to remember is that the administrations at many of these universities, they do not really support the police in cracking down on the demonstrators. They basically are giving lip service to law and order and the protection of property.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to continue taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, we're even going to discuss how the cancellations of graduation ceremonies are starting to happen throughout the country. But, of course, this comes out of Columbia. If you didn't see, Saturday Night Live actually opened this week with a sketch that was pretty funny, I'll be honest, the Kenan Thompson led, about, you know, kind of parents' frustrations with their kids protesting. And, of course, they spent all of this money, and now they're not even going to get to watch their kids graduate. Hilarious sketch from Saturday Night Live. I know that you usually don't necessarily hear that these days, but I think it shows that there is a tide turning in this country. They see the actual kids that are out there are ones being misled by some of these big organizations, by organizations that have been ready for this and have been planning for months. I think we're learning that too, is that
right.
This wasn't something that just sprung up all of a sudden in a week. This was an attempt to overthrow these schools and really to create a media moment that's been being planned for really since the attacks.
Well, and I think when you follow the money, what's interesting is that the Soros, Rockefeller, Pritzker, and Gates triumphant donor pocketbooks, not only are they huge donors to Joe Biden, huge donors to the organizations creating this chaos on campus, but also huge donors to these universities themselves. So their money is touching every facet of this chaos. And at some point, you have to wonder which angle of their agenda is going to reign supreme. Because if they can start pulling their funding from the universities and continue funding the chaos, or pulling their dollars from the presidential candidate, that dollar has a lot of ability to affect change on policy, which is obviously the end goal for these organizations, is to affect the policy of President Biden. There's a reason they're calling him Genocide Joe. Do you think that it will come to that, where they're going to hold these universities hostage, not just from encampments, but also with their donations to the universities themselves?
I think they will try. It's important to keep in mind that these organizations support a permanent revolution in the United States. They are committed to a leftist agenda. And the leftist agenda, if you go back and you look at history, is committed to a constant revolution. And a constant revolution that continues for decades. But keep in mind, once you achieve a revolution, then there's something to revolt against because you are now in charge. And so many of the universities that we are talking about, they are helmed by individuals that have supported a revolution for quite some time. That's how they attain their particular position. So when I taught at law schools in the United States, many of the law professors were revolutionaries. Yes, they wanted tenure. Yes, they wanted a huge raise, but they wanted to foment a revolution in the United States that ultimately destroys the structure of the country. And this goes back to even 1966. In 1966, two sociologists at Columbia University, ironically enough, Cloward and Piven, they set forth their agenda for radical change, which has continued. They wanted to bring about the collapse of the market system in the United States. They don't really care about middle-income individuals who are having difficulty making payments on their house or their car or gasoline. What they care about is a revolution.
Let's go ahead and quickly take, we only got a minute, but I want to take a call, you know, to prove you wrong. Lori's calling on line one because I do have some action you can take. Lori, go ahead.
So it's interesting what you just said, because where's our revolution? Just Christians.
Hey, Lori.
Where's our
Yep, your connection is bad. So I'm only going to say I know what your comment was, which was, what are Christians doing? We need to take a stand and engage on these campuses. We need to make a difference. Hey, right now, we just launched a new petition to support Israel and also stand up for Christian and Jewish kids, Zionist kids, if you will, if you want to use that dirty word that they try to make into a bad thing, just those that want to support, you know, a creation and a cessation of a state of Israel. And we want you to sign that petition. This is how you can get involved right now. Sign the petition. Go to aclj.org/sign, S-I-G-N, sign. Go to aclj.org in general, though, to look at great content from people like Harry Hutchinson, CeCe Heil, who's going to be joining us later on, Rick Grinnell from Will and I. A lot of great content on aclj.org to get engaged in. But we want you to sign that petition. Help defend Jewish and Christian kids on campuses as these violent protests continue to demand a response, and we are going to be there at the ACLJ. We could use you. ACLJ.org/sign. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Back with a very short break. Last night began the Holocaust Remembrance Day. You know, that happened at sundown yesterday. And of course, all of these things happening, Passover, Holocaust Remembrance Day, back to back, all while dealing with these, you know, anti-Semitic protests that are happening in a way that, as someone with a Jewish background, I've never really felt unsafe in a place like New York City. Maybe probably the place I felt the most safe would have been New York City or L.A., or any of these areas where there is a predominantly large Jewish population there. Never would have thought those were the places that I would have to second guess traveling to. But unfortunately, that's where we are in society. Weirdly, where I don't feel threatened, places like Tennessee, where I am, where are places like Florida, where yes, sure, there are going to be protests on campuses, but I know what the overwhelming amount of people feel about Israel. And I am happy, I have to say this, not to call out anyone specifically in the conservative world, but I can call them out a little bit and say, I am glad that some of your eyes have been opened by these protests, that these are not the people you want to be associated with, because you're associating yourself with the people that you maybe dislike the most. But we had months where sort of the conservative world was unsure, or got all of a sudden, they started turning much more anti-Semitic, much more anti-Israel. And it kind of panicked me, because it's like, okay, well, if we lose everybody, then what's this world going to look like? I think a lot of people are watching shows right now like We Were the Lucky Ones, which obviously deals with what it was like leading up to the Holocaust, as we are on Holocaust Remembrance Day, and what it was like for year after year to just slowly see the incremental moves towards an anti-Semitic world. And I feel like you can feel it happening in society right now. Thankfully, this has been a bit of a wake-up call that, again, you don't want to be associated with what's happening on these college campuses. I hope. And there have been some bills that have been passed and people are taking action. And I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are starting to jam up. Again, like I say, they say I take a lot of the calls later in the show. I will take some calls in this segment and in the next segment. But CeCe Heil's joining us as well, because we are not only taking our calls and comments and reporting the news here. The ACLJ has taken action and even currently just put out a letter to Mike Johnson, Hakeem Jeffries, about the situation in Iran that really should hopefully support Israel and bolster that up.
Right. And this ties right into, you know, what we see even with the anti-Israel protests. We had Iran on April 13th and 14th launch 300 missiles against Israel. And of course, we know that Iran has been funding all of these attacks, Hamas and every Iran proxy attacking Israel. So we sent a letter, as you said, to Secretary Blinken, Secretary of the Treasury Yellen, and then the House leaders and Senate leaders and other Senate committees and House committees, relevant ones, basically saying that we have to hold Iran accountable and that we have to enforce the sanctions that are already on the books and actually ramp them up as well. We point out the fact, that not only did they launch the attack against Israel, but they have attacked our U.S. base in Jordan over 170 times. since October 7th. And at one point in January, they killed 3 American military members and injured 25 of them. And, you know, we kind of forget about that. So we draw the attention back to those attacks, that Iran has to be held accountable, that President Biden has proven, you know, too many times that he's all too willing to waive the sanctions, and Iran has to be held accountable, and Congress holds the power of the purse strings. So we sent that letter and demanded sanctions.
The great work of the ACLJ team, always getting involved where we can.
And I also like the breadth of this work, because it wasn't just to Congress, even though it was to Speaker Johnson, Minority Leader Jeffries, also Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer both got a copy of the letter, but also going directly into the administration, where we know a lot of this trouble is coming from, going directly to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, because the Treasury Department obviously is the one where a lot of the sanctions generate from. But it does go to show and we even mentioned this last week with Mike Pompeo, the leeway that this administration has given to the Iranian regime, whether it be through oil sanctions relief, whether it be through allowing them to access funds that are in South Korea or in Iraq. But there was a marked difference from the previous administration that was tough on sanctions, that used sanctions as a diplomatic tool instead of having to resort to bombs in warfare.
Right.
And just how quickly one administration over a couple of years allowing those funds to be accessed, how much terror and chaos in the world can be unleashed by the Iranians.
Right, and we do point that out in the letter as well, that, you know, this waiving of the sanctions and allowing, like you said, these billions of dollars, it's not even millions, it's billions of dollars to still flow into Iran, when we know that they are the biggest funder of terrorism and are not just going to go after Israel, but they will come after the U.S. as well, as we've seen that. And so we point all of that out in our letter and demand that sanctions, and especially going to Congress, again, they have the power of the purse. They hold that power over the purse, and they can do these sanctions.
Look, and we are only 6 months away from an election. I think that's a key point to know. Like, we're less than 6 months at this point. So action needs to be taken right now, because it can be held as an election tool. It can be held as a tool used political. That's what we're seeing right now. I think a little bit later, we're going to be talking to Rick Grinnell about the fact there was a hold put on ammunition shipment to Israel. Guess what I think that is? That's fully a political move to try to, you know, satiate the appetites of the hard left, the leftists that are on there protesting, causing a lot of noise. We're going to discuss that a little bit later with Rick Grinnell. But also, there's a way you can get involved, and it's free. I want you to go to aclj.org/sign. That's sign, like signing a petition, S-I-G-N, sign, or scan the QR code that's on the screen right now. Take you a few seconds and show and stand up for Jewish students, for Christian students, for defending Israel, just in general. We really need your help. And putting your name is just as important as giving a dollar. So sign the petition, aclj.org/sign. Another way you can help is if you are watching right now on one of our platforms like YouTube or Rumble, and specifically, I would say on YouTube. Rumble is a great free speech platform. It's not algorithm-based, all that. YouTube is. And look, YouTube's been good to us recently. We've had a lot of you are brand new. Almost 400,000 of you have subscribed to our YouTube channel. So we know our voice is being heard. So I'm going to ask right now, if you have not subscribed and you are watching this broadcast right now, hit the subscribe button. If you have subscribed already, hit that little thumbs up. I know it seems like not much of an ask. Hit that little thumbs up right below me. It's probably like right there. Do that. And it gets into more people's feeds. More people see this kind of news. We need also younger people to see what's actually happening and to be exposed to the truth of what's happening around the world. If not, they're going to be fed only the information that is being presented to them by the most radicals, who are typically, by the way, the most media savvy or the most tech savvy. They're the ones that can get in front of you. When you hear names like Bill and Melinda Gates, you think they don't have great staff that really know how to get people going and really how to get into everyone's algorithms? Of course they do. You can be a part of helping out on the other side of that by just hitting that thumbs up and a like. And you know what? Comment in the YouTube and the Rumble comments. I always do this during the break here because we have a very short break. Just tell me where you're watching from. If you don't have anything to say, if you have any comments or questions, just tell me where you're watching from, and I'd love to hear from you, and I'll read some of those off in the next segment. Again, I'm going to encourage you with just 1 minute here until we get to this break, and we're going to keep this discussion going, and we'll continue talking about the protests and obviously the cancellation of some of these major, like Columbia, major graduation ceremonies. Again, a lot of these kids came off of COVID. their high school graduations were canceled. One of our friends said their high school graduation was canceled, and now their college graduation is canceled. And this college graduation was supposed to be sort of the make good, even for their high school, for a lot of their families. This was their time to finally have their student and their child celebrated. But of course, last time it was due to global pandemic, and this time it is due to outrage controlled and powered by Biden supporters, by a lot of really people up to really bad things. We'll be right back with more on Sekulow. Less than a minute break coming up.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Sekulow. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Sekula. We are continuing discussion about Israel, obviously, and the protests that are happening around the country. I do want to quickly take a phone call off the top of this segment. A lot of people are asking about the protests. They're asking about commencements being canceled. Let's go to the phones. Let's first, since we have CC here, we got a lawyer in here. Let's answer a legal question. Let's go to Roger, who's calling in Utah. Roger, you're on the air. Watch on YouTube.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if the racketeering laws don't apply to the people funding these protests, since they're stepping on people's rights.
Yeah, Roger. Maybe not specifically racketeering, yeah, but there's a lot of other things that we are pursuing those now.
Right. And racketeering is a very specific claim, and you'd have to have a prosecutor that would bring this in New York City,
right. Yeah.
Which you're going to be hard-pressed to find that as well. But they have violated many, many laws, so there are laws to go after them, and they need to be pursued.
Yep, absolutely. Let's continue on. Let's take another call. Let's go to Rachel, who's calling on line one. Let's listen on the radio. Rachel, you're on the air.
Hi. Every time I hear the word Zionist, I think, isn't God a Zionist?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the Zion part of Zionist. I think that's right. What we're talking about here. Unfortunately, they've turned that into some sort of slanderous word or an insult to be thrown. I see a lot of my friends who are proud Zionists. I've met a lot of proud Zionists through my life. And you know what? They're mostly very peaceful people. Maybe the most peaceful people. They're borderline hippies, usually people who consider themselves Zionists. Now, that's changed in the last 6 months. And they went from the hippies to the radicals, because they have to be, because they're seeing what's happening in not only these college campuses, but they're seeing what's happening around the world. And they're seeing just the fact that we're Zionists. And again, to break down Zionism in just a very easy to understand way, it's someone who believes there should be the existence of a state of Israel, a state for the Jewish people. And maybe it is in the biblical homeland of the Jewish people. That's pretty much it. That's simple. But somehow that has become a slur. That has become an insult to throw at you, you Zionist. Loud and proud over here, by the way. Happy to be lumped in with all of the Zionists who are very loud and proud. Again, when I say that, what I know what they mean now, I used to just think it meant they were just being anti-Semitic. It was just people who were speaking out against the Jewish people. But what I know now is that really includes pretty much most mainstream evangelical Christians. So who are they going after? Evangelical Christians and most Jewish people who believe in the existence of a state of Israel, because it's the biblical homeland of our faiths, of both Judaism and, of course, the continuation of Judaism with Christianity. And whether you like that or not, that's just the truth. Okay, it's also, by the way, a homeland of a lot of Muslim people. And there are holy sites for Muslims. There's a lot of history there. But guess who's protecting a lot of those sites? The Israeli military, the IDF. That's who makes sure that things are attacked. Who tried to bomb the Dome of the Rock? Iran. They're the ones willy-nilly throwing rockets in the air, knowing good and well the IDF has the right technology to try to shoot down as many as they could. And they did. And of course, the only person that got killed in that attack was a young Muslim girl. Because they are throwing rockets indiscriminately, hoping that Israel shoots them down in some weird way. It is a war. It is war games. But it is, and of course, it all takes place in the spot that we all knew it would one day. And it's going to take place there, and we know it. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Next up, we got Rick Grinnell joining us. But I did want to encourage you, before we go to a break, to sign that petition to support Israel. The anti-Israel protests on campuses are wild right now. They're out of control. The world is turning its back on Israel. We have to defend it. You know what? Not necessarily the world has. The media has. And the media then reflects this to the entire world. So be the opposition to that. Make sure that their agenda and their narrative isn't the only one heard. Sign that petition right now, because the ACLJ, we're taking action. We're mobilizing our Jerusalem office, fighting on Capitol Hill, filing FOIA lawsuits against the Biden administration over their anti-Israel State Department funding. We're also preparing to take some major action to defend Jews and Christians on campuses. We're working on that right now. If you are one of these students, by the way, that feels persecuted, I'm going to encourage you to go to aclj.org/help. Fill out the very simple form. You'll be attached to a lawyer. We'll get in touch with you soon. And by the way, of course, the ACLJ, we do all the legal work at absolutely no cost to our clients. We'll be right back. Seculo. In the next segment, we're going to take as many calls as we possibly can, so you need to be a part of that conversation. 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rennell joins us right now. We are going to keep this discussion going, Will, because over the weekend, also what broke is the U.S. had put a hold on some ammunition shipments to Israel. It's a little vague. Why? People aren't sure. Obviously, Biden's on the phone this morning. We know with Netanyahu. So it's starting to unfold.
That's right. So this is the first time since the October 7th attack that the U.S. has stopped a weapons shipment to the Israeli military. We know that they are very reliant on us helping them reload when they are in the middle of this very ongoing war with Hamas. And Rick, I just want to pitch to you, is this the latest in a litany of betrayals from the Biden administration of our ally Israel?
Look, it's really puzzling that we would stop shipments to Israel. We've tripled down on shipments to Ukraine, and there's no talk of a ceasefire there. But yet, when Hamas, a terrorist organization, has Americans held hostage, we're somehow not seeing clearly that the solution here is to release the hostages first. Look, you know, there's a lot of discussions that need to happen when it comes to the Israeli-Palestinian issue right now. And those discussions about who the next government will be in the Palestinian territories, how do you rebuild, what do we do to ensure that there's not going to be Hamas leadership inside Gaza or other areas, all of those conversations are very appropriate, but not now. The first step is to return the hostages, and I don't understand why we can't just focus on having a terrorist organization release Americans. That is the first thing that we must do, and all discussions about ceasefires and all of that come after we release, we get our hostages back.
Sure, and of course the conversation now going to, well, you're calling for the hostages to be released, the hostages are likely dead. And that's what a lot of the, weirdly, that is the response coming from, look, is that true? Who knows? Our prayers are that they are not. But could they be? Of course. But that doesn't mean you just get away with it. That doesn't mean that now we move on to phase two of this, because we're still in phase one, which is American people are being held hostages, or worse than that, they have murdered Americans. And how do we respond to that? And I think that's the weird part about this to me, Rick, is we look at it from this big global perspective of, yeah, we got to move on from those hostages. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Again, all those other discussions are appropriate, but the timing is very crucial. And we should not be telling Israel to stop looking for the hostages, stop trying to find the Americans who are being held hostage. And we should not be holding back our ammunition or any hardware. What we should be saying to Israel is hurry up and get this done. Find the hostages. We will help you. Let's clear out the killers, the Hamas leadership that started a war. And let's be very clear. They went to a concert where there were peaceful concert goers, and they did brutal acts of murder, rape, and killing. So we know exactly the problem, and it's the Hamas leadership. And we must get rid of Hamas, and we must get those hostages returned before we talk about a ceasefire, before we talk about rebuilding. Any of those important discussions need to take place later.
Rick, one angle of this that concerns me, we talked a lot last week about the potential for arrest warrants for Israeli leadership coming from the ICC. And in this reporting on the ammunition withholding, Axios notes that the administration in February asked Israel to provide assurances that U.S.-made weapons were being used by the IDF in Gaza in accordance with international law. Now, the Pentagon and the White House haven't given a statement yet about why this ammunition hasn't gone forward. But my concern is that by withholding this ammunition with their previous statement, they're in fact giving ammunition to the ICC prosecutors that want to use anything they can as a basis for arrest warrants and war crime prosecutions against the Israelis.
Yeah, look, Israel absolutely abides by international law. And if they make a mistake, there's a lot of pressure on them to admit that mistake. And they usually do admit the mistake. The Israeli government is not perfect, just like the American government is not perfect. But the process that we have in terms of free elections, democracy, the rule of law, that is a perfect process. And we are trying to abide by that perfect process. I would remind the ICC judges that taking hostages is against international law. They should be focused again on the taking of hostages. Their entire focus should be on Hamas right now. And it's ludicrous for ICC judges to once again go after Israel. This is an organization, the ICC, that has to be defunded. It's clear to me that they are not fair. It's not a rule of law court. They constantly have partisan politics coming in. And until they clean it up, the Americans should not be funding it.
Absolutely, Rick. And I did want to bring that kind of back to where we started here, because there's a lot of people who are just joining us now on social media, YouTube or Rumble, who saw the headline, which is now it's kind of been revealed, not too shocking, where a lot of this funding and where a lot of the plans were coming in from these college campus protests. And of course, they are some names that we're all familiar with, whether that is a Soros, whether that is a Gates Foundation, whether that is a Rockefeller Foundation. Sadly, it's becoming you become a bit numb to it because you know that's where it's all coming from. But what are the ramifications of that? And being the fact that we are only 6 months from an election, you have things like the statement that where the ammunition shipment was held. I've said that is a big political move because that is trying to make sure your hard left base is just, they feel good about the situation here, because we have seen now even the fact the protesters, there's been one thing happened at the University of Alabama. The protesters on both sides are chanting against Joe Biden. You're seeing Genocide Joe being projected onto George Washington University. The Biden administration, now knowing that a lot of this funding and the protests are coming from some of their biggest supporters, they're making moves, and they're making moves that are trying to maybe, make everyone feel okay about what's happening. And it just simply you can't have both.
Yeah, look, these foundations, whether it's Gates or Soros, if you take them at their word, they say that they don't fund violence or anti-Semitism. And what I would say to these foundations is they need to do a much better job of vetting, because they are funding anti-Semitism and they are funding violence. So if they say that they don't want to fund that, then they need to have a better process in how they award these grants, because they may think that they're just trying to fund organizations that are talking about the plight of Palestinians. And they might be in that little safe space when they write the check. But they are failing to vet these recipients of these grants, because what's clear is both of these foundations and others who are supporting the Palestinian demonstrations on college campuses, they are funding violence and they are funding anti-Semitism, and they need to stop it.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go ahead. Let's take a quick call real quick. I think we should do that, and then we'll let Rick go. Let's go to Timothy, who's calling in Tennessee online, too. I listen on the radio. Timothy, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to say thank you and your team for the love of King Jesus. I want to say thank you and your team for the love of the United States of America. And I want to say thank you and your team for your love of Israel.
Thank you, Timothy.
Israel has an everlasting covenant with the Lord, period.
Timothy, we appreciate you call. Appreciate comments like yours, Rick. And I think that's the sentiment that's coming all across America. You may be a little disenfranchised by what you're seeing out of these college campuses, but we know real people throughout the country, places like Tennessee, places in the Midwest, even look, there's even some places where you are in California, where they are supportive of Israel. We know that just the narrative isn't what is actually happening. You got to make sure you get out of your social media bubble sometimes, and you or out of your mainstream media bubble for that matter, because there are good people who really know what's right and wrong here in this country, and a lot of them are supporters of ours.
Yeah, look, I believe as a Christian that there's a biblical mandate to not only pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but to fight for the safety and peace in Israel. And that's what we're facing right now. Israel is trying to get back hostages, many of which are Americans, and they're fighting against a terrorist organization, an evil organization. And so we need to stay focused on the facts.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick, so much for joining us. Hey, in the next segment, I'm going to take all the calls, plus maybe a couple more. So if you have your time to call in, this is the time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Also, you heard from Rick. Sign this petition in support of Israel. Do it today and do it right now. Go to aclj.org/sign. We just put up the QR code if you're watching on YouTube or on Rumble. And again, if you're watching one of those platforms, the easy thing to do, it helps also. Subscribe, hit that thumbs up. We are less than 1,000 subscribers away from 400,000 subscribers on YouTube. Help us get there today. Just hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. Again, taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take as many calls as we can as we wrap up this broadcast today. Hey, as soon as we take a call, though, you can call. Maybe you'll get on. You can still try. People who are on hold will get to you for sure. Let's go to Edward, who's calling in Kentucky. Watch it on the ACLJ app, which you know, we don't talk about too a lot, but it's available there. It's actually going through a big redesign right now, so hopefully you like it. Edward in Kentucky, you're on the air.
I would like to say that the Word of God says in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, Israel, and I will curse those who curse you, and all of the world will be blessed through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I believe that the Word of God is true.
Absolutely, Edward. And we've seen that time after time. If you follow the history of Israel, there is actually little chance it should survive without being a place that God has blessed. I mean, look at how many wars they have been a part of. Look, I mean, there are times where Israel has gone away. I mean, there are times where it did not exist. And even for the last over, you know, close to, you know, the last 100-ish years, less than that, there have been times where the threat of Israel being dismantled has come to a head. And look, right now we're kind of in that moment again, and we have to make sure we know what right side is, and we know what the right side is, and that is to support Israel. Obviously, as Rick said, all governments have a bit of corruption to them. We know this. We know that no one is completely clean in the world of politics, and it's no different in Israel. They're a very volatile government. But we know, historically, biblically, where our allegiance should be, and that is in Israel. So we thank you for your call, and thank you for your support. We've always been supporters here at the ACLJ of Israel. I've been there many times. Of course, we have our ACLJ Jerusalem office that is operating there to make sure that your voice is being heard there as well, because it's probably pretty easy to be a conservative Israeli and watch, they watch news that's coming out of America. They're seeing these protests and they're feeling like the world's abandoned them, feeling like their allies in America have abandoned them. We got to make sure that they know that that is a loud minority. That is not where the majority of the people stand. And look, I hope that's true. We got to make sure we get our talking points out there. We got to make sure we can take this to court as well. It's continuing on. Susan's calling in Maryland on line 3, watching on YouTube. Thank you, Susan, for watching on YouTube, where almost 400,000 people join us. We appreciate it. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Do we know if GWU has filed unlawful entry? That would be DC code 223302 to the pro-Hamas protesters. Because if they have not, these pro-Hamas squatters could claim legitimacy to the adverse protection laws, and which is code 16113, 16-3301, hey. Yes. To gain permanent residence of that property.
Yeah, Susan, there is a statement that has just been made pretty recently by George Washington University. I do know also that in George Washington, you're seeing a lot of people, even from outside, from other college campuses, from other places, all kind of descending on George Washington right. University. And that is why it's become a pretty big deal. But they did make a statement.
So the president, Ellen Granberg, last night put out a letter. And whether or not they've gone forward with even the code citations that you made, right. Susan, clearly something bigger is going to happen in coordination with Metro PD in D.C. Because here's a couple highlights from her letter, which I think is actually pretty forceful, and hopefully we'll see some good action. But she says, what's currently happening at GW is not a peaceful protest protected by the First Amendment or our university's policies. The demonstration, like many around the country, has grown into what can only be classified as an illegal and potentially dangerous occupation of GW property. She goes on to say that it's essential to highlight at no point was this encampment lawful. It was in direct violation of multiple university policies, and we're trespassing on a space explicitly reserved for GW law examinations. And further, she goes on to say that it's clear that this is no longer a GW student demonstration. It has been co-opted by individuals who are largely unaffiliated with our community, do not have our community's best interest in mind, and it is increasingly unsafe and a violation of university and city regulations to have so many unidentified and unvetted people from outside the GW community living on university property. So hopefully they are looking at that, coordinating with the city, and figuring out how the best way to get it shut down will be, including probably many of those code citations that you brought forward, Susan.
Yeah, know that we'll be there as well, the ACLJ. If things aren't getting enforced, things aren't being taken care of, we're going to be there, and you could be there with us by signing our petition right now. Go to aclj.org/sign to support Israel, support Christian and Jewish students who are just simply supporting the state of Israel's existence. Not supporting a government, not supporting a military. What we're doing is saying we support those who support the existence of a state of Israel, to protect our holy sites, to do all the things, to be a shining beacon of Western beliefs in the middle of the Middle East. Look at all the countries surrounding it. You couldn't have the laws that you have in almost any other country other than in Israel. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. Let's go to Carrie, who's calling on line one, South Dakota, watching on YouTube. Appreciate that. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really wanted to kind of tie it all up and circle back to what I was hearing Harry say more toward the beginning of the show, where he's speaking to a permanent revolution. Okay, this is subversion. And the names that you're seeing now, you can tie them back many, many generations. And, you know, there was a gentleman named Yuri something from the in the 80s. He spoke to this. They've been, the people who started this back in the 1900s and, you know, dealt with the stock market changes and all the different things. This is all built out over time.
Carrie, I got comments. I got friends texting me saying, hey, how you doing? They're just checking in to see. I got one of my friends who's a Hollywood actor. He sent me a text. He said, hey, how's it feeling living in the 1930s right now, making sure you're doing okay over there? You know, those are the kind of texts that we're getting. And it's pretty wild. It's a pretty wild time to see that. Again, I think a lot of people are becoming more aware of that. The signs are pointing in one direction. And sadly, it's in a direction that happens to also coincide with International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is going on right now. Started at sundown last night. So during that, we were dealing with this. That is not coincidental. When you know these plans have been made months in advance, when you know it was there to disrupt graduations, disrupt Passover, and of course, Holocaust Remembrance Day, these are the kind of things that continue to happen on our college campuses, and they're not just some grassroots, you know, creation by a handful of students. These are planned events that are made to disrupt society and cause political disdain and political separation, and to drive people one way or the other to a more violent way. And we have to stand up against it. Sign that petition, aclj.org/sign. Last call of the day, Ann's calling from Indiana on line four. You're on the air.
I hope I can hear the emotion in everyone's voice. We're all invested, and I certainly hope the people of Israel don't feel abandoned by the United States. Not only is that not true, they're not abandoned by God. God has made a covenant promise to Israel, and the fact that Israel exists is proof that God exists. And you segued right into the point I wanted to ask, make. These foundations, Soros, Gates, Rockefeller, whomever, they're fomenting trouble, and they have to know it. Can they plead ignorance when they keep funding people who break the law and are vicious and go after students that they are trying.
Sadly, and they probably can because they're jumping. There's multiple hoops that get jumped through because it's not like they're funding directly. They'll fund a foundation that then funds these kind of organizations. So sure, these are smart people who have safeguards up against them. It is not as simple as saying you funded violent activity. Of course it's not, because again, they have smart people working there. But you can stand up to it right now. I'm going to encourage you, as these protests continue on, as kids aren't being able to graduate, kids who, again, their senior high school graduation was canceled. Now, 4 years later, their college graduation is canceled. Their kids, maybe parents, have their kids never going to be able to be celebrated. Why? Because of planned protest by leftist extremists. What it is. Sign that petition right now. Support those kids. Support the state of Israel. Go to aclj.org/sign. Scan the code that's on your screen. We'll be back tomorrow.